Open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 4 once again. We're going to try to finish up chapter 4 this morning. And I apologize, I know that there was another announcement I was going to make, and I don't remember what it was, but I guess it'll come to me in the middle of the message. How's that, you know? Ephesians chapter number 4. I know we're a little short on time here, but that's okay this morning. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians 4, look at verse 31 and 32. We haven't got down to these verses yet, and so we'll kind of finish chapter 4 here with these verses. He says, in fact, let's read this out loud together. Okay, so Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we are grateful that we can spend some time this morning looking into your word again, and in particular this morning as we talk about forgiveness and what a marvelous thing this is. We pray that our hearts and our minds, our inner man would be opened and hungry for details and the truth that is here that we could appreciate to a greater degree. Not only what forgiveness is, but what it took in order for us to receive forgiveness from you and all that that means. And we'll thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, well, based upon these verses here, what we're going to talk about this morning is the issue of forgiveness. And I've got several points I'd like to cover, and if I can stay on track, that's great. If not, I guess it's not the worst thing in the world, right? But what we'll look at first is, what exactly is forgiveness? There's a lot of discussion and misunderstanding about what forgiveness actually is. And then the second thing I want to look at is, why is forgiveness so hard to actually do? Why is it so hard to forgive others that have offended us? And then the third thing is, that what happens when we don't forgive? And then the last thing, what happens when we do forgive? So we're going to spend this morning talking about the issue of forgiveness. By the way, how many of you appreciate the fact that you have had all your sins forgiven? That's a good thing, isn't it? You know, so that's something we can rejoice in. It's something that, what did we have to do? How much did we have to pay? What did we have to promise in order to get forgiveness? Nothing. We got forgiveness free. Wait, what's that verse? You just receive it by faith. It was part of the grace package, you know. That when these verses here, verse 31 and 32, when you look at the verses here, you get some wonderful insight into not only what forgiveness actually is, but what happens if we don't forgive? Let's read these verses again. Notice it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. What the things identified in verse 31, do those sound like things you want to spend some time in? You want to camp out there? Shake your head no. Right? Look at verse 32. And be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So let's begin then. What exactly is forgiveness? Well, if you get your Webster's 1828 dictionary or some other dictionary, by the way, you can't trust new dictionaries because they're just redefining everything, beginning with marriage, all right? And also with gender, they're just redefining all that stuff. So it's crazy. But at any rate, if you get your Webster's 1828 dictionary, you'll find it. He says to forgive or forgiveness is the idea of to pardon, to overlook an offense, to not hold an offense against the offender, that the person that offended you. Hence, to treat them as not guilty of the offense. So think about that. So forgiveness is the idea that there has been some kind of offense that happened, but then you make the decision that I'm not going to hold that offense against that person. I'm going to overlook it. I'm going to not let it have the impact on me that my flesh would want it to have. That kind of a concept. And so you treat that person as though the offense never occurred. Now, sometimes that will lead people to a misunderstanding of what forgiveness actually is. So that's going to be the second point. We're not there yet, but we don't want to misunderstand what forgiveness is. What we can do, let's look in the Scripture, and we'll see a couple of real great pictures and illustrations of what forgiveness actually is from God's perspective. Because that's, in the end, that's what we need to know. Go with me, if you would, over to 1 Kings chapter number 8. Go to 1 Kings chapter number 8. Now, granted, in our context here, this is Israel under the law. You and I are not under the law, we're under grace. But the nature and principle of just what forgiveness actually is, the nature is the same regardless of what dispensation you live in. The definition of it is the same, all right? By the way, how you get it is vastly different compared to when you're under the law, compared to under grace. Okay, that's vastly different, all right? But the nature and idea of what forgiveness is the same regardless of what dispensation you live in. I want 1 Kings 8, and I'm in 2 Kings 8, so give me just a moment to turn over. This is the time when Solomon has built the temple, and he's offering this marvelous prayer on behalf of the nation of Israel. We're going to just jump right into the context here. You can see at verse 31, he says, if any man trespass against his neighbor, so at 1 Kings 8, 31, if any man trespass against his neighbor and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous, to give him according to his righteousness. So let's stay here for a few minutes. All right, when Solomon here talks about a trespass occurring between two people, and it occurs, of course, in the hearing of God. God hears that. What does he ask God to do in verse 32? Fundamentally, what does he ask God to do? So, what does that fundamentally mean? He's asking God to deal justly, to do what is right. And, of course, in the context here, it's according to the law. So, that kind of sets the stage here for us to appreciate the essential issues involved in forgiveness. First of all, in order for forgiveness to occur, there has to have been some kind of trespass, some kind of offense. What else has to be real in order for forgiveness to be real? What has to be true about God? He has to be just. He has to hear everything. He has to know the hearts of everyone. That's important. And so he asks God in this prayer here to, as he says here, condemn the wicked. What does that mean? That means hold the person accountable. And justify the righteous. The guy that did not transgress, don't hold him accountable for something he did not do. See the principle there? So now watch him develop this even further. He says, verse 33, when thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, and an important note here, because they have sinned against thee. Just remember this. He's making reference to the law program. In that law program, God told Israel that if you sin and trespass against me, there's going to be various forms of chastisement. There's five of them listed in Leviticus 26. We've talked about that before. There's going to be various forms of chastisement that I'm going to use to seek to cause you to repent, to change your mind, and to come back to me. You see what he's saying there? So he goes and he says at verse 33, when thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, that was one of the courses of the chastisement. He was going to allow Israel to be smitten if they violate his law. He says, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee. So now they turn, see that? They turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplication unto thee in this house. Then hear thou in heaven, and, now there it is, do what? Forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again into the land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and so on. You can read further, we're not going to just for time's sake. What do we discern, what do we see in verse 33 about 33 and verse 34 about forgiveness? And again, this is under the law. But what do you see about the nature of forgiveness? There's transgression that has happened. There's sin that has happened. It's against the integrity of God. And he asked God, not on the basis of God's goodness, just to forgive them. He says, if they repent, if they change their mind and own responsibility, that is, confess their sin, they own personal responsibility, then forgive and then bring them back to the land. So with these verses here in your mind, do you see what forgiveness actually is? There's been a transgression or a sin against a person or against God. God hears it, knows it. He knows the heart. And then based upon certain situations and so forth, what does he decide to do? He decides, you know what? I'm not going to hold that against them. I will overlook it. I will pardon them. And in doing so, I will deal with them as though the transgression didn't occur. Everybody, you got a picture of that there? Now, fundamentally then, under this time, if you would, go to, you can let go of 1 Kings there. Go with me, if you would, over to Matthew 6 and go with me to Ephesians 4. Go to Matthew 6 and Ephesians chapter number 4. I asked at the beginning of the message, how many of us here today enjoy and rejoice in and appreciate the fact that all of our sins have been forgiven? And we all said, amen. We all got excited about that, right? It's a blessed thing, is it not? Did God forgive us on the basis of the type of prayer that Solomon prayed? Okay, he said no. Why? What was the basis of forgiveness as Solomon prayed? It was conditional. Is that what you said? It was conditional. They had to... What's that? Yeah, that's right. They had to change their mind and their actions in order to get the forgiveness. So, clearly, forgiveness, which was a good thing, even though the law is a good thing, it's just that it was conditional. If you look at the prayer in Matthew 6, this is referred to as... They call it the Lord's Prayer. It's one of the most famous... It probably is the most famous, quote-unquote, prayer in Christianity. But he says this. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jump ahead, if you would, to verse 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Okay, now, there in those verses, what kind of forgiveness, what do you have to do to get forgiveness? Marianne, go ahead. It's the if-then. It's conditional. Conditioned upon what?
Your actions.
You've got to go forgive someone else before God can forgive you. So you actually have two parties extending forgiveness. You have two parties overlooking a transgression. You have two parties overlooking an offense. If that was you and me back then, we would have to go and forgive someone else. We'd have to overlook their offense. We would have to say, okay, I will treat you as though you didn't transgress against me. I will treat you as though you didn't rob me. I will treat you as though you didn't offend me. I will treat you, I will pardon you, and I will overlook that thing. Then I could beseech God, now God, forgive me. See the principle there? Question. Is that how you got forgiven? Yes or no? If you had to get forgiveness based upon that verse, in those verses, how are you doing? Not so good. Or maybe it's not so well. Bad English. You know, with my wonderful teacher, I said, I'd be better at English, shouldn't I? Right? Look, now go to Ephesians 4, the passage where we started. Look back at Ephesians 4. You've all seen this before, but it's a wonderful comparison. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, and in particular verse 32. Watch this. It says, and be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake. Now, what's the next phrase there? Okay, so what's the difference here? You're already forgiven. Therefore, what? We're forgiven. There we go. Out of gratitude for how God has dealt with us, we can, in gratitude, deal with others the same way. By the way, whether they're believers or not. Now, in the context here, he's talking about believers, but you understand he's also talking about anybody. That we as believers should be able to extend forgiveness to anyone. Okay? So first of all, do you understand what forgiveness is? Everybody got that picture? It's a decision on the part of someone who has received an offense of some kind to say in your heart, in your mind, I'm not going to hold that against that person. I'm going to treat that person the way I've been treated by God's grace. I'm going to overlook that transgression. I'm going to not hold that person accountable for that thing that he or she did do. I'm going to deal with them differently. Now, in saying that, a lot of people therefore come to conclusion about things that forgiveness is not. So understand this. Forgiveness is not justifying the action. It's not condoning the wrongdoing. It's not saying the transgression is just okay, don't worry about it. We had a question come up at a conference about the last year and so forth. It was really a good question, a real hard issues about the issue of forgiveness. And it was, how do you forgive someone if they just keep doing the transgression? Do you? And isn't that just justifying the transgression? And so it's a great question, because sometimes when people think about forgiveness, they think about forgiveness means you say the action or conduct is okay. That's not what forgiveness is. Those are two completely different things. Forgiveness is treating the person as though they didn't commit the offense. But it doesn't say the offense wasn't committed. After all, you can't forgive unless there's been an offense. But it is saying this. Yes, you offended me. You did something to harm me or injure me or whatever it might be. But I can still deal with you on the basis of the fact that you, if you're a believer, you've been already forgiven in Christ. Now, with this thing you're doing, let's talk about that. And you discuss the issue, whatever it might be. Maybe it's an abusive relationship. Well, you've got to forgive me. You're right. The verse tells me to forgive you. But I can still talk about the abuse. Whatever it might be. Whatever the subject is. Forgiveness does not justify the wrongdoing. It does not say it's okay. If anything, it equips the person who is offended to have the right heart attitude towards the offender, because they need some kind of help. They don't need the condemnation. They need the cross. The same thing we needed. So everybody see the difference there? Forgiveness doesn't justify the action. It doesn't say it was okay. It doesn't say it was right. It doesn't say, oh, just keep with your problem. It's no big deal. It is a big deal. But the solution isn't to hold the grudge. The solution isn't, well, I'm just going to... That guy did me wrong, and I'm not going to be friends with him anymore. No, what's the solution? Well, what was the answer for our forgiveness? It's the cross of Christ. That's the answer. To take them to Calvary. If that person is struggling with some issue, and it keeps destroying them and potentially you, just whatever it might be, you take whatever the issue is, the only chance that they have for victory over that thing they're struggling with is the same resource that you have for whatever the issues that you're struggling with. And that is, Christ is our life. He's our resource. Calvary's the answer. So if anything, just try to take their attention when they're struggling with that issue and say, you know what? Let's look at that in the light of the cross work of Jesus Christ. See the issue there? So let me ask this next question. Why is forgiveness so hard to actually do? Now stop there for just a second. I'll get you in just a second. Because the flesh first says this when I ask that question. Why is forgiveness so hard to do? Well, no, it's not hard to do. Of course I forgive. What just happened there? Self-justification is what happened, right? Okay. Well, what do you mean? What are you saying? Are you saying I'm holding a grudge? I just asked the question. It's interesting how questions can bring up the old guy, right? Anyway. But I think it's a valid question. Why is forgiveness so hard? Now, what did you say, Brenda? That's why. Okay, I'm going to repeat it. She said, because we want revenge. She said, we want revenge. Ken, go ahead. You know what? Did you read my notes? You read my notes. Both of y'all read my notes. Listen, here's what I put down. I'm telling you. Because we want and think we deserve justice. It might be, but both of them together collaborated and wrote my speech, my notes here. Listen, the reason that forgiveness is so hard is because we not only want justice, we think we deserve justice. That person cut me off. That person cut me off on the freeway. How dare them do such a thing? I mean, that person cut ahead of me in line. Now I got to wait a whole 4 seconds longer. Isn't that true? Someone comes along and they do something against us that we think that rightfully should not have been done. And listen, oftentimes it absolutely rightfully should not have been done. It was wrong. Maybe they rob you. Maybe they take your car and crash it. Maybe they break your lawn. Whatever. Whatever the offense was. Just right now in your mind, pick one. Pick one. You got a whole box full. Got a whole closet full of them. Readily at your disposal. Right now, pick one in your mind. Something that you're holding against someone did to you 5 minutes ago or 25 years ago. Just pick that one. And think it through. Well, that person did this to me. It was wrong? Yeah. It was uncalled for? Yes, that's true. It was out of line? You're right. They had no right to do it? Yes, you're right. Again. So what happens? Well, but what? Well, they're going to get away with it. Not really. In fact, what often is the case is they forgot about it way longer than you have. But the reason that forgiveness is so hard to do is because we want justice and we think we deserve it. Let's look at a couple of other verses then to maybe help us deal with the issue of extending forgiveness and working through this thing about why it's so hard to do. Look with me, if you would, over to Romans 12. Look over to Romans chapter number 12. Look at verse 19. Look at Romans 12 and verse 19, and it says this. Actually, we go back to verse 18. This is actually a pretty good verse. They're all great verses, but watch this. Verse 18. He says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. There are a lot of things interesting about that verse. That was 12:18. Everybody got that one there? The first part of the verse, if it be possible. What's the practical point that Paul conveys in that verse? You know, he says, some people you're just going to butt heads with, right? Some people temperament difference, emotional difference, background differences. You're just not going to be able to get along with everybody. That's not the problem. It's not sin to quote unquote not get along with everybody. Look at the next statement. As much as lieth in you, what lies in us? What's in us? Christ is in us. So we shouldn't be trying to get along with everybody anyway based upon our own resources. You find someone you can't get along with, just talk to the Lord about it. Just say, Lord, this guy and I, we don't have a picnic together kind of a thing. But Lord, that's my brother in Christ. That's my sister in Christ. So Lord, when I'm with this person, I don't have to be with them all the time, but when I'm with this person, and they with me, Lord, let me just rely on you as my life. See the difference there? He says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So the insight there. You got someone that maybe just rubs you the wrong way. What should you do? You just make a decision. Okay, you know, we're just different in how we approach things, and it's okay. Look at the next verse. He says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. What do we know from that verse right there? What's that? Yeah, there will be vengeance from the rightful judge who can read every man's heart. Question. Have you ever been misunderstood in something you said or something you did? Okay. If you have ever been misunderstood in something you said or something you did, go ahead and raise your hand this morning. Question. So have you maybe ever misunderstood someone else's actions or intentions?
Of course not. I know everybody's heart. They just don't know mine, kind of a thing.
See the difference there? It is interesting how much we want people to be lenient with us and forgive us, but if it's kind of the other way around, it's, well, I just don't know. I just know that person meant to hurt me. I just know it. But really, you didn't. That verse says, dearly beloved, it's wonderful the way he starts it, doesn't it? Because at the time that an offense has occurred, you forget that you're dearly beloved by God. You're thinking you're hated by the person that just offended you. Our perspective changed, didn't it? So he brings it back here. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Don't let the flesh get in the way. Rather give place unto wrath. Don't let wrath be the day of course, the way of course when that offense happens there. For it is written, here's why, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Look at another way he says it, this time over in chapter 14. Look at chapter 14. Romans once again, Romans 14. Look at this, verse 11. I'm going to go back to verse 10. In the context, Paul is talking about believers. He says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. See how those two verses go together? When it comes to an offense that has occurred, why is forgiveness so hard? It's because we want vengeance. It's absolutely pride. That's correct, Ken. You know, but when we come back to verses like this, we can say, now, wait a minute, Lord, that person's going to give an account, but so am I. And my bonfire at the judgment seat of Christ is going to be way bigger than theirs, if you guys know what I mean by that. So, you know, Lord, since you've forgiven me, you actually tell me to forgive them. My flesh doesn't want to. It's just gnawing at me. It's just eating at me. They did that. It was wrong. It was out of line. They just had no remorse. They just didn't seem to care. But Lord, what about all the things I did to offend your holiness and justice when I didn't care? But it was your cross that impacted my heart, that helped me to see my need. And then you forgave me. So who am I to hold that sin against them when you are not doing it? Ken, go ahead quickly. Yes. That's an excellent observation. Let me repeat that. When the phrase says in Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, those of you that have been forgiven. Isn't that wonderful there? And you are loved. It's amazing. So next time that you find yourself, someone offends you, you're upset about it. But by the way, to get upset about it, okay, that's not the big deal. It's what you do with the upset, right? So just kind of catch yourself. Take a deep breath. Go ahead, take a deep breath right now. You can. Go ahead. Right? You know, even as adults, the 10-second rule still applies. And I'm not talking about food on the floor either, right? go to the corner kind of thing. Take a breath. Chill out kind of a concept. It still applies to you, even as an adult, right? Just calm down. Just think about it. God forgave me so I can forgive others. Okay, so what happens when we don't forgive? Well, look over to, let's see, let me look back over here. Look, are you still in Romans there? Look over to verse 21. 12. 12, 21. Look at the setting here. Look at the context. He says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So in the context, what happens if we want vengeance ourselves against that person? What's happening to us? We are being overcome with what? Evil. Well, now go back with me, if you would, to, and you can hold on Romans, you can let it go. Now go back with me to Ephesians chapter 4, where we started. What happens to us when we don't forgive? Look at Ephesians 4, this time verse 31. What happens to us when we don't forgive? Look at verse 31. He says, let all, what's the next word there? And what? And then what? And then what? And then what? Be put away from you with all what? Do you see how it grew totally out of control? An offense happens. So then we get bitter. And then we think about that offense. And we think about it more. And so then we become wrathful. And we want to execute vengeance on that person. So now we're experiencing internal anger. What is clamor? Just disruption. Lots of noise to no purpose. So you've got all that internal talking going on. Well, that person did this and they just don't deserve that. And I can't believe they did this. And man, your blood pressure is going up and everything. It's just going on. It's grown from bitterness to wrath to anger. Just a bunch of noise. Now it's gone from inside to outside because there's evil speaking now. It's gone from inside where it's just boiling over. Now it's outside, evil speaking. He says this. He says, be put away from you with all what? Now, what is malice? It is that, but what else? What's different between, say, malice and anger? Yeah, there you go. You're talking intent now. Causing harm. Now it's no longer just inside me boiling away. And now it's coming out because now I'm speaking to others about it. And now I've hatched a plan. Now I've got intent to get even. Question. What happens to us when we don't forgive? That's what happens to us. That internal grinding of that battle between the flesh and the inner man. The outer man, that inner man. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. There's battles going on. And the more that we give our thinking and our will to the offense that that person did, who do they think they are? And the more we focus on that, we're just empowering the outer man. We're empowering the flesh. We're feeding that old man. And you can see what it produces there. Question. Do you think... Yes, you do, by the way, because you come to this church, you have to think, right? Anyway, look at verse 31. How long do you think you can live in that environment, the environment of bitterness and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking, and malice. How long do you think you can live in that environment and it not manifest itself in your health? Physically, emotionally, mentally. What's that? Yes. And what you hear what she said? She said, and others around you. So when we hold that in, it doesn't stay in. It eventually comes out. It impacts us. It impacts others. How many of us here today would like to be free of that malice? Of the evil speaking? Those I'm backing up through the verse, the clamor, the anger, the wrath, the bitterness. How many of us would like to be free of that? Does anyone here today need to be free of any of the things in verse 31? You can put your hand up. I'm putting mine up. Listen, there's always... Life happens, does it not? We always need these verses. So...
Do you every day and clean up your side of the street daily?
That's it. That's why you renew the mind. Yeah. That's a great passage there. Beth, go ahead quickly. That's a great... I actually have it in my notes here. We're not going to have time, but let's look at it real quick. Hold Ephesians 4. Go back to 2 Corinthians 2. The question that Beth asked was, what's the verse that talks about, you know, don't let Satan get the advantage? This is the exact context of not willing to forgive a brother. That's the context here. It's over in 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2. Let's just read quickly down it. Verse 5. 2 Corinthians 2, because we have to finish by saying what happens when we do forgive. That's the good part, right? I've got to get there. All right, so quickly, he says at 2:5, he says, but if any have caused, this is 2 Corinthians 2:5, but if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which is inflicted of many, so that contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive him and to comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up of overmuch sorrow. The guy has genuine grief about his transgression and sin against the believers, against the assembly, and against God. He says, wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, see how it goes from present to past tense, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. He says, listen, I already forgave this guy based upon the cross on your behalf. He says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. One of the devices that the adversary uses is that bitter spirit of animosity among believers in a local assembly who hold grudges against one another. Instead of saying, you know, wait a minute. We both needed the same exact forgiveness. We both received the same exact forgiveness. And what it took to forgive both of us was exactly the same payment, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, let's not hold these things against each other, because we are, together, collectively, dearly beloved in Christ. Let's go back then to Ephesians chapter 4 and try to wrap this up here. What happens when we don't forgive? It destroys us. It impacts others. It hurts us more than it hurts the person that caused the offense in the first place. And in many, many cases, the person that caused the offense in the first place, oftentimes they didn't even realize it happened. Or maybe they just forgot about it. But you didn't if you hold on to it. Let it go! Let it go! You know what? Let it go. Right? Good. Take a deep breath. Doesn't that feel better? Just let it go. Every man will give an account of himself to God, saved or lost. Now, it's two different settings, right? But that person's got to explain why they did what they did. But so do you. And the answer is the same. The cross of Christ. Christ crucified. The preaching of the gospel. Jesus Christ is the answer. So what happens when you do forgive? Now look at verse 32. You put the things in verse 31 away. You put those out of your heart, out of your conscience, the things in verse 31. So now you have room to let something else dominate your thinking. You have room to let kindness come in. See how he says, be kind. Now, with that kindness, now you have a tender heart. That thing, tender heart, that's an interesting word. How many of you have ever had a bruise on your muscle? Maybe you tripped over and fell somewhere and you get a bruise, right? And this, kind of tender. It's sensitive to the touch. You want to have a heart that is sensitive to the touch of the Word of God as it touches your heart. A tender-hearted. See that? He says, be a kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving. What does forgiving mean? You know, it says, I can look at that person. I can overlook what they did. Not excuse what they did or justify it or say it wasn't wrong. But I can choose to deal with them on the basis of how Christ dealt with me. He didn't hold my sins against me. If God was to have dealt with me on the basis of vengeance and justice, I would be in hell right now. But Jesus Christ took my death. He took the full undiluted wrath of Almighty God on the cross, manifested by His cry, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why art Thou so far from the words of my roaring, He says. He says, while on the cross, He says, save me, O Lord, for the waters are coming into my soul. He experienced the wrath of God in him, spirit, soul, and body, on my behalf, for my transgressions that I did. And God forgave me. God says, I will overlook that sin and sins because I looked at them in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I forgive you. Freely all forgiven. That's good. We have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. However wealthy, however big God's bank account is under the category of grace, and to whatever degree He wants to and is willing to and able to give that to us freely, that's how forgiven we are. Isn't that wonderful? Think about that. So what happens when we forgive? A lot of things happen. It quiets our own heart. It lets that bitterness go. In fact, you've got to put the bitterness away. It helps us to think back upon Calvary. It helps us to see ourselves at the cross. It reminds us that that person, if they're a believer, they're with us at the cross as well. If they're not a believer, they need the cross anyway. It takes us back to the cross, does it not? All to His glory. All to the Lord Jesus Christ. It can set you free. Listen, it's not just the law that binds. Living in that performance-based system, holding an unforgiving attitude towards that person is a concept of that law. It binds. It holds you down. It eats you up from the inside out. Just let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. And you'll sense that peace. Our gracious God and Father, we thank You for the time that we can look at what You say in Your Word about forgiveness, what it is and what it's not, and why it is what it is, all because of the crosswork of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, we know that there will be multiple opportunities for us as believers, beginning right now, to practice forgiveness. And throughout the week ahead and the weeks ahead, a lot of things will happen. But Calvary is the same answer. The cross of Christ says what to do about it. Just to let that bitterness be put away and to instead, in its place, allow the kindness that won our hearts, which is Your kindness, and Your love that won our hearts over, be in its place to be extended to others, both saved and lost, who might be offending. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.